Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. If you have a scary story, email it to me, zackbabytv@gmail.com. A shout-out to my channel members and my patrons. You know, the woods are a magical place, but at the same time, you just never know who or what you'll run into. People are disgusting creatures that leave trash everywhere. That's alright by me. I made some dumb choices back in the day. I spent a year or so locked away, and now I can't find a job. Lord knows I'm trying. My mother, bless her, lets me stay with her until I can find something to pay my way. My hobby started when I was walking back home from a job interview. Even someone as dumb as me can tell was a no-go. When you have no job, you have no gas money. I walked everywhere, and when you walk everywhere, you see all the amount of trash on the streets. I saw a beer bottle and a plastic bag to carry it home in. I picked it up. The dime you would get from it wasn't nothing when you have no job and gas money. When you're living off your mother at my age, you can't afford to leave a dime on the street when you saw it. I was lucky enough that I found another liquor bottle that was worth a whole quarter. Now that got me hooked. I did keep looking for a job and found a part-time gig at a fast food joint. They treated me like trash and I was only getting 15 hours a week, but it was like that beer bottle on the side of the road. When you have nothing, you don't leave a dime on the street, and when you have nothing, you don't leave that job that barely pays. On my spare time, I kept doing my civic duty and cleaned the streets. Soda cans is a good market. People don't just throw them anywhere. Aluminum can be recycled forever. I learned that from the metal recycling guys, so it's always on my sort of demand. Prices go up and down on it, though. Some days it's 60 cents a pound, and others it could be 80 cents a day. And it doesn't take much to make up a pound. Only like 30 cans, depending on the size. Now I pick up cans if I'm walking home from work, or walking to work. I try to hold on to them until the prices go up, but sometimes I really need that bread, and a few bags of cans pays for that. Anyways, that's the setup for why on my days off I walk around in the woods. It's not because I like nature or nothing. People are lazy. They come camping and leave their trash. I make a pretty good amount off picking up beer cans and bottles from campsites and high school parties. I got nothing else to do, so I clean up the rest of the trash too. Even stuff I won't make money on. I saw a dead squirrel with plastic wrapped around its neck once. A sad sight I didn't like. I'm no hippie, just got nothing better to do. Like, I'm walking in the woods, right? I'm walking to an area that's kind of out of the way. An old truck kids like to party at, and is always loaded with beer bottles and cans. I could always find something there. I'm just walking, minding my own business. I turned my head to look around and make sure that I'm not lost. The truck is not on a hiking trail, and it's easy to get turned around in the woods if you don't keep track of the markers, like the double fallen trees or the huge-ass rock. I was looking for the huge-ass rock and saw something. The forest didn't go silent or anything. Nothing happened when I saw it. It felt like something should have happened when you first find such a thing, but it wasn't a special moment. I just looked over between the branches and bushes. I saw a perfectly fresh-looking head. I had thought it was a mask or some weird toy, but it was very clear that it was someone's head, just sitting there in the middle of the woods. Dead eyes looking up at the sky. At first, I did a double take, not being able to believe what I was seeing. Then a third take. Then I nearly got sick. Figuring it was best not to puke and ruin a possible crime scene, I forced it back down. Plus, I didn't want the cops thinking I was some sort of pansy that pukes over something like this. It wasn't even that gory looking. At the distance I was at, I couldn't tell if it was a guy or a gal, only that they had short hair and pale skin. This was not my place to butt in. I would just go to the ranger station and use their phone to report the head anonymously. I wanted nothing more to do with it. Backtracking through the woods, I paused every few feet to stick branches into the dirt making my path. I figured the city cops that are going to come in to collect the head won't be good at hiking. The markers would make it easier to be found. And that was my plan before it started to rain. Only a little at first, but it made me stop and think. How sorry that head was. It belonged to a person once, and now it's in the middle of the woods being rained on. I cursed myself, and decided to turn around to cover it at the very least. I had brand new, never used clear recycling bags I could cover it with. I don't know if that would ruin the crime scene or anything like that. I had gloves and I doubted it would be tracked back to me. I was walking back following my own trail when I smelled the worst thing ever in my life. It smelled like a skunk rolled around in another dead skunk. I hadn't smelled the head when I was really close to it. Breathing through my mouth, I could even taste the foul air. I didn't see anything, but it made me worry I somehow stumbled on the rest of the body. But it was strange I hadn't smelled this when I walked in that direction to start with. I looked around through the dense trees and listened to the light rain fall around me. I had come out for a few nickels and dimes, not for any of this. If I wasn't so darn reformed, I would have turned tail and left. And yet, I was looking for some poor dead soul in the middle of the woods. And let me tell you, I didn't expect it to find me. Honest to God, I swear on my life it found me. Mind you, my life isn't worth nothing to swear on, so I swear on my mother's life. She's an older woman supporting her no-good adult kid, so you know that she's worth swearing on. And I don't give a dang if you don't believe me. Looking around the trees, I heard branches cracking. It was for certain footsteps. Expecting a hiker or a camper, I looked towards them to ask for help with the whole dead body thing, and was greeted by a sight that made me want to puke all over again. Standing a few feet away from me was in fact a headless corpse. I knew it was a corpse from the smell and the look of the poor bastard. Aside from the lack of head, it was all in one piece. Its dark skin was shriveled up like a mummy, like a butt juicer. It still had some rotting to do, but it was mostly skin and bones. The thing didn't have a shirt on, only a dirty sheet tied up around the waist for a weird sense of modesty. I tell you, if someone could look down your empty neck hole, no one is going to care about your junk. I really doubted what I was seeing. I don't mess with drugs. I've seen what that does to a person. even as it was coming closer towards me. I didn't move because I was so sure it wasn't real. I must have adjusted to the smell because I wasn't able to lose my lunge when it stopped in front of me. The dang thing was tall, too. Even without its head, it towered over me. I said, oh so very gracefully. What else could I say in that situation? I found a head. It's a bit too fresh to be yours. Just follow that trail of sticks. I stopped talking and flinched when it reached out and took my elbow. I expected it to rip off my arm or take my head, but no. It just held my arm in silence and expected something of me. Even though my shirt sleeve, its bony fingers made my skin crawl. But to be honest, once you get used to it, it really felt like an old person's hand. Then it clicked. It wanted me to guide it to the head. I guess it couldn't see, but I had no idea how it heard what I had said, or why I even spoke to a headless corpse in the first place. I forced myself to walk back, following my trail with the thing matching my steps. I questioned all my life choices that brought me up on that very moment. The sad thing was, I was already doing what I could to fix those life choices. I was staying out of trouble. I was doing my best to get a job and support my mother. I didn't run with the crowd of people that had gotten me into this crappy situation in the past. And yet, I was still walking beside a headless corpse. I could have been having a breakdown, which would be a fair idea. But these things don't run in my family, and I wasn't stressed. Not until I saw the head. Maybe that was it. I was in so much shock seeing a decapitated head, I broke and was hallucinating a corpse going to it. Seemed like a logical idea to me. But wasn't the idea behind mental breakdowns is you're not aware that you're having one? Oh well. Doesn't matter. Wasn't going to change what I was doing. I led the corpse back to where I had stopped before. I didn't want to get closer to the head, and I was lucky enough that the corpse seemed to be able to sense it. It let go of my arm and walked a bit awkwardly towards the head that looked like it was just waiting to be picked up. With the same motions of a blind man reaching for his glasses, the large corpse padded around on the ground until it found what it was looking for. I watched as it picked it up and ran its bony hand over the face. I wondered if it could see the face that way, or even if this corpse had a brain at all. Seeing them together, I knew that this head did not belong to the corpse. It was too small, and the skin tones were off. It made me wonder where the head of the corpse was, and where the missing second body was. Was it also walking around the woods looking? What had done this to them, and why were they even here? I was certain I would never get the answers. I'll be going now. I took a few steps back to excuse myself from the whole thing. The corpse turns towards me, scaring me enough to stop me for a second. It raised its arm and gave me a little wave. You would think I would stay out of those dang woods after that. But it's a good place to get bottles and cans, so I still go. I didn't report what I had seen, because I had no head and no proof. I do check the missing cases from time to time, trying to see if a face I recognize. I've heard stories from the campers who started to recognize me. They gave me their bottles instead of taking them back themselves. Stories of a monster ripping off heads, unwary campers, and adding it to the collection. There had only been one corpse found without a head in the past 10 years. And that was enough to start the stories. But the corpse had been found, with a lot more things missing. And they even found out who it belonged to. But still, it became a ghost story. But I don't feel like that's the case. A monster ripping off heads, I mean. I think humans are the ones killing and dumping bodies out in the woods. Sometimes the bodies are found, and sometimes they're not. Animals eat everything, even the heads. But the monsters they're talking about might find those heads first. I think it's taking the heads to remember the faces of the dead. The faces that might never be found or put back together again. If humans found them, they might make them into an awful police sketch that might never lead to the person being found. I think it's a nice thought, that no matter what, at least someone is going to remember their face, that someone is going to know how they looked, monster or not. Or maybe, it just eats them. Who knows when it comes to the weird headless corpses? Whoa, that was a pretty interesting story with definitely a twist in a direction I was not expecting it to, but that's a good thing. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Share me with your friends, and again, like always, spread me like butter.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.